Family. The Lord wanted me to declare this to you. In Numbers chapter 6, beginning in verse 24. And on behalf of Mandy, Kaylin, Paul, Karen, and I, we pray this for you. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. That is our prayer for you. That was unscripted and unknown until just a moment ago. Today's message is in Isaiah, so you can flip over on to that. Isaiah, I just want to share with you something that you probably hear a lot and maybe even ask this time of year. What do you want for Christmas? Anybody asked anybody else that? What do you want for Christmas? It seems to be the most popular question this time of year. And one of the things that somebody's going to have to help me, you're going to help me to understand this. But this time of year, they have some really weird songs on. And somebody's singing, "All I Want for Christmas is a Hippopotamus." I don't get it. All I want for Christmas. And I won't go there. I'll spare you that. But lots of advertisements. Lots of sales and new items come up this time of year. If I ask you what you want for Christmas, what comes to your mind this morning? Clothes, toys, tools, kitchen items, jewelry, electronics, sports gear, boat, car, truck, house. What comes to your mind when I say, what do you want for Christmas this year? God is not against having nice things, okay? He's not against that at all. And when we have the privilege of having things, he wants us to be good stewards of our possessions, our money, and our time. He doesn't want those things to possess us, though. Even though we've been granted the blessing of having things, he doesn't want those things to be the dominant things in our lives. Then, in other words, to be more important. To be more important what his call is on our lives. But every one of us battle flesh. And we seek stuff diligently. And all of us collect stuff. All of us want stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as it does not collect our hearts and minds to put above all things God. It is very unfortunate, though, that in our careers, our social status, our physical, financial lifestyle, that we spend a lot of time devoted and dedicated to gaining these things, when in essence, the spiritual realm, we don't devote or as dedicated to that as we are the other stuff in our life. And this is part of what I believe God was sharing with me throughout this week. That he's most important of all. But he said also that I believe it's a time that we quit settling for less when God has the very best. And it's a time for us to start dreaming big. That God has the blueprint for your life, for my life. And bigger than what we could probably imagine, but we kind of settle for less. But when God is trying to get our attention, he's trying to get us to listen to Him. And that's one of the things that I learned this week and am learning, is that I need to listen to His voice and know that it's His voice, not mine or my motivation. It's His voice alone that I need to listen to, because He has the very best for me. Some followers of Christ have settled for less. You've had things go on in your life. God had the very best in store for you, but you couldn't get past His circumstance in your life to move forward to what He had for you to do next. You allowed the circumstances to dictate your future, and you allowed Satan and the world to begin to just gnaw at you and say, you can't do this because this happened. No, God has more in store than what we could imagine. He's trying to get our attention that He has the master plan, because He is the master. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He knows all things, and He's 100% correct in His counsel every single time. Praise God. Not one of us, not anything that you could go to, is going to give you that kind of status. That it's 100% correct every single time. We should dream big. You've ever desired something for Christmas, and you've told people, you might even have circled it, you might even text them a picture of it, and you said, this is what I want for Christmas. And Christmas came and you were disappointed that it wasn't there. Anybody ever been there? Growing up, I was like, yeah, there's many times that, you know, I'd say, I'd go through that catalog. Some of y'all don't know what this means, but you get the JCPenney catalog, and you, Christmas catalog, and had all that stuff in it. And man, I'd go through there with a highlighter, and I just, you know, I like, hey, here you go, Dad, Mom. Look under the tree and like, that don't match. I'll never forget. I wanted Converse high top tennis shoes, white. Everybody had them. Everybody had them. I wanted those. I was like, don't get me nothing else. If you can just get me some white high top Converse tennis shoes, that would be awesome. Can I? Awesome. Well, when I got to the Christmas day, I got the pick and pay shoes that if you're a kid, and a boy especially, you might go for a month maybe. And it wasn't even high top. And that was okay. I should have been thankful for what I did to get, right? But you have disappointments in life, and all of us do. But we must look at the big picture and move on. We just don't know what God has next for us. The people in Israel obviously didn't hear either. They turned their back on God. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, in the light of everything that was going on in Israel's life, they had turned their back under God, on God. They were under the rule of those others that was oppressing them. And then in verse 6, He enlightens them with this detail. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to call upon You and know that You are my Father. And for those that are followers of You, that have trusted You and confessed You, what a privilege it is that we can gather together and call You Father, because we probably don't know to the extent how wonderful You are, how great a counselor You are, and how mighty of a God You are. But You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the Everlasting Father. And You are the Prince of Peace. I pray in the moments that we have ahead that You would just speak to us. about what troubles our hearts, what's revealed to us that we need to get repented of and get in right relationship with you. That your Holy Spirit, God, you will just move on our hearts this morning, be it for salvation, following up in baptism, getting things right with you, or prioritizing things in our life. May you bless and enlarge and increase your family, your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Living life does have disappointments, discouragement, struggles, and those circumstances can cause us to really underestimate the power of God. But in the scriptures that we read, He is wonderful. Amen? And He is God. And we need to understand that. So, don't stop dreaming big. Don't stop dreaming big. Adrian Rogers said this about stuff, that we should seek stuff second. We should seek God for His plans. He said, add up everything that you have that money can buy and death can't take away. Add up everything that you have that money can buy and death can't take away. Then ask yourself, how wealthy are you? The Bible tells us, seek first the kingdom of God. It didn't say seek first the kingdom of Amazon. Seek first the kingdom of God. When you line up your life with God first, it'll change everything. It's not a quick fix, it's a process, sanctification. So you shouldn't go back to your old life. It's a part of the process. Keep moving forward. Keep pressing on to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, it's a lifestyle change. It's an ongoing personal relationship with God Almighty, who is wonderful, who is the best counselor you will ever get advice from. So get close to God and then declare His promises. You and I are limited, I know more so now, limited as to what we can do. There's so many things in life that we think we can fix. And we try. But we're limited. Quite honestly. But I want you to know something that you already know, but you need to hear again. That with God, all things are possible. Amen. You cannot buy peace, can you? In Isaiah, he prophesied 600-700 some years to the nation that had turned their deaf ear to the Lord. Instead of serving Him with humbleness and offering love to their neighbors, the nation of Judea offered meaningless sacrifices in God's temple and committed all these injustices with other people and even their nation. They turned their back on God. Their priority was on self and stuff. God here in Isaiah 9 verse 6 is declaring the future for them through Isaiah's message that he gives to us about His greatest gift of all time. His greatest gift of all time. For unto you a child is born. Last week we talked about being coming from a wealthy paradise of heaven and stepping down to earth in a lowly manger. He came for you and I. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. What is that verse that we memorize? For God so loved the world, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... Praise be to God. There's a lot of people that need to know that. What a gift that is. Said the government shall be upon his shoulder. In the word government, in Hebrew means dominion. It means power, sovereignty, legal authority. So you could see how they could get confused that he was going to come and he was going to take over everything, but that wasn't God's plan yet. Notice I said yet. Because there will be a new heaven, and there will be a new earth. And when his feet touches down on the Mount of Olives, when he touches down, there will be sovereign authority. There will be dominion that day. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise be to God. There will be a day that every knee will confess. That every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. The knees can't confess. Sorry. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day. Real soon. In Isaiah, if you're still in Isaiah, turn over to 65. Chapter 65. In Isaiah 65, beginning in verse 17, prophet Isaiah says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor even come to mind." Praise be to God. "But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and in joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed." Praise be to God. The promises that there's a new day coming for those who have confessed and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's a new day coming. Praise be to God. If you would now, turn over to Hebrews. I think the Bible is so powerful. His word will not return void. In Hebrews chapter 12. I want you just to see that the prophecy of what he said in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9 is very true, and it speaks of it throughout the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 25. "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not and refused him, they spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." Verse 27, "And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Look at verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. God is in charge. He is a wonderful counselor. Amen. God is right 100% of the time. All the time. His counsel is perfect. His future is secure. His plans for you have been made. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. God is wonderful, and He is the only counselor that we need to hear His voice and His voice only. That is correct all the time. All the time, God is correct. In Proverbs, I know I've got you flipping scriptures, but scriptures are good for us. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, beginning in verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be in a humble spirit with lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. God is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. With Him, all things are possible. Do you believe that, church? He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Lord everlasting. He is the Prince of Peace. The peace that we're talking about is to have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an inward peace that the world cannot give you and you can't buy. But God said it's a free gift. This peace that He's talking about. And as a Christian, a peace that He will never leave you or forsake you. He is always at working in your life for you and for your best interest. So God is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the best counselor we'll ever talk to and get advice from. We should obey Him, should we not? So I go back to the question. What do you want for Christmas? Remember, he doesn't oppose stuff. As long as it doesn't possess you. What do you want for Christmas? The Bible says this. The wages of sin, but, praise be to God, there's a but. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do we really realize the significance of that gift? When a gift is given, how will you respond? How do you respond? When you receive a gift, how do you respond? I didn't want that. No. How do you respond when you receive a gift? We're excited, aren't we? Full of joy. When you receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, how do you respond? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who needs that gift? Who needs that gift? Who needs to go back to the day that you received that gift and restore the joy of your salvation? who needs to say, Lord, I need you to be my Lord, the one in control of my life. I surrender all. All to you I give. So what do you want for Christmas? What would God be speaking to you about? How will you respond? For the gift today is being laid out for you to receive. What do you want for Christmas? Let's pray. Father in heaven, many things have probably crossed our minds this morning about what gift we would want for Christmas. You gave the greatest gift of all time, so that we could be restored into a right relationship with you because of what Jesus did on the cross. Could be many things on our hearts this morning that trouble us. Could be for family, could be for things that's going on, could be diagnoses, could be someone that's passed away. Many things have been on our hearts this morning. Lord, would you just pour out your Holy Spirit this morning, that everyone in this room would have the freedom to respond to the gift that you're offering this morning. That they would be free to come and to pray and to talk to you about that, or free to make that decision that they need to make this morning. So we ask you humbly to pour out your Spirit. We love you. We thank you for what you're going to do. We praise you for what you've already done. Because you are wonderful. You are the mighty God. You are the Prince of Peace. We thank you for what you're going to do. We lean to you to be honored through this invitation this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray. Would you stand, please, and respond?